back a few weeks ago, started this series, this mini-series on having a great 08. How many here want a great 08? And we started studying from the book of Ruth, this Bible personality called Ruth. How many have heard of Ruth? She's in the line of Jesus. Well, let me give you some historical background on the book of Ruth. There was a woman named Naomi. She and her husband Elimelech and two sons were from Bethlehem. And there was a famine in Bethlehem. So they decided to move to Moab. Now, Moab sits right next to Israel on the east. So they moved to Moab. Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Her two sons got married, one to Ruth and one to Orpah. Well, in the course of time, the two sons died. So now Naomi was left husbandless and without children. She had heard while she was in Moab that God came to the aid of his people. So she decided to move back to where? To Bethlehem. She told Ruth and Orpah, you stay here in Moab, in your country. They said, no, we want to go with you. She said, no, you stay here. So Orpah decided to stay in Moab. Ruth was of a different spirit. She said, no, Naomi, I am going with you. Ruth was of the attitude of the spirit of new beginnings, of a new start. Let's turn to Ruth 1, verse 16. And this is what Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth 1, 16. And we concentrated on this scripture last week. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. This is powerful. She says, Naomi, your God will be my God. You have to understand that in Moab, where Ruth was from, they served a false god. The god's name was Chemosh. And Ruth was like, you know what? Today is the day of a new beginning for me. I am making a change. I am leaving that false god behind. And Naomi, your God will be my God. In essence, Ruth was saying that your God, Naomi, Yahweh, will be number one in my life. And last week we discussed that if we are to have a great 08, what is the first thing that we need to do? We have got to make God number one in our lives. You know, someone may have been number one in your life in 2007. You may have idolized a certain relationship. Maybe you idolized a certain job. Maybe you idolized books and knowledge. You put something else before God. But God takes second place to none, right? He says in Exodus 23, you will have no other gods before me. God wants to be number one in our lives. How does God become number one in our lives, friends? By making his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the word Lord means this. It means master. It means ruler. The one in charge. So how do we make God number one in our lives this year, like Ruth did? By making his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, the one in charge over the thoughts that we think. Lord, over what we do with our bodies. Lord, over our spirits. Lord, over our relationships. Lord, over our jobs and finances. Jesus Christ wants to be Lord and in charge over every area of your life. And if you make him Lord over every area, then guess what? You're making God the Father number one in your life. And if you make God number one, he will bless you this year. What does the Word of God say in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you need will be given to you as well. If you're seeking relationship with God, saying, God, I'm putting you number one. I am putting you on the throne of my heart. I am seeking the advancement of your kingdom. Then God is going to say, I'm opening up the windows of heaven to bless your life. But you've got to put me first. And that's what Ruth was saying in Ruth 1:16. Your God, Naomi, will be my God. I am making him number one in my life. So let's all say it tonight. Say, God, I am making you number one in my life in 2008. I am making your son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life, the one in charge of every area. So the first way that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the attitude of a new start was that she was making God number one. Now the second way that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the attitude of a new start, of a new beginning, is found in Ruth chapter 2. And this is what I want to concentrate on tonight. And some of you may have heard this message before, but it bears repeating. It's good to hear a good message more than once, right? So tonight, let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth had moved back to Bethlehem with Naomi, and she ended up working in these fields, these barley fields. And she was gleaning, she was picking up the sheaves after the reapers in the fields. And this is what it says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 6. Actually, let's back up to verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather amongst the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." Go down to verse 17. "So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah." The second way that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the attitude of a new start, that it was the day for a new beginning, was how? By being what? By being diligent and faithful in the fields of Boaz. Diligent and faithful. And you know what? It's a good thing that she was. Guess what? In Ruth chapter 4, something great happens. Ruth ends up marrying whom? She ends up marrying Boaz, a man of influence, a man of standing, a godly man. And they have a child named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And guess who was in the line of David? Jesus Christ. Ruth ended up being in the line of Jesus Christ, God the Son. What greater reward than that for being faithful and diligent? Amen? Amen? So one of the things we have to do if 2008 is to be great is that we have got to practice this quality of diligence and faithfulness this year. Diligence and faithfulness. Now, let's look at the word faithful. You guys may have heard this before, but it bears repeating. Faithful means a strict or thorough in the performance to one's duty. And that's what Ruth was. It means true to one's word, true to one's promises and vows. It means reliable, trusted, and believed. This is the way I define faithfulness. What is faithfulness? It is a constant steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Should I say that again? Faithfulness is a constant steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Let's look at Ruth 2, verse 7 again. This is what she said. "Please let me glean and gather amongst the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked what? Steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest at the shelter. This woman was steady, constantly steady. She did not quit. You can imagine that in the barley fields, it probably got hot, right? She was probably sweaty, she was hot, she was uncomfortable, but she continued to do what? She continued to work faithfully in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz noticed her. He said, "This is a good woman. She is diligent. She is faithful." And he ended up marrying her. Think of the second hand on a clock. It ticks faithfully, right? Steadily. It ticks 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day. There's a clock up there with a second hand. And it can be cold in this room. It can be hot in this room. There could be yelling going on in this room. The conditions could be good. The conditions could be bad in this room. But that second hand steadily ticks and ticks. 3, 4, 5, 6, and does not stop. That is a faithful second hand. You agree? So we in our personal lives have got to be like the second hand on that clock. We've got to steadily tick away in the course of action that God has assigned to us in 2008. And I feel like I need to share this message with you at the beginning of the year because God is going to give some of you guys goals and objectives this year. There's going to be things He wants you to accomplish in 2008. He's going to want you to write those goals down. It's okay to have a goal, but you must work towards that goal, steadily ticking away like the second hand on a clock. If you agree tonight, say amen. Amen. Who are the faithful ones in the Word of God? First and foremost, the God that we serve is faithful, right? He is a God of order. He consistently and faithfully gives us light for the day, right? So that we can go about our daily activities. He consistently and faithfully gives us the night so that we can sleep and get rejuvenated for the next day, right? He consistently and faithfully gives us air to breathe so that we can be alive, right? So the God that we serve is faithful. You agree? And the Word of God says in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore imitators of God." If God is the faithful one and we're to imitate Him, what does that mean? It means that we are to be faithful in the assignment that God is giving us for 2008. Who is another person that was so faithful? So important. Jesus Christ, God the Son. Jesus Christ was born to die, right? So that we could live forever. Now, Jesus was about to face the crucifixion. The sins of the world were about to be laid upon the back of Jesus. And Jesus was praying to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. And this is what Jesus says to God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he prays this several times in this chapter. "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" What cup was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the cup of suffering that he was about to experience at Calvary on the cross. It was tough, but he knew why he came to this earth. He came to die for our sins. And he did not quit. He was faithful to his assignment. Do you agree tonight? If so, say amen. Amen. Jesus was faithful. He said, "Not my will, God, but yours be done." Now, why was Jesus faithful? Why was he consistent in going to the cross without quitting? Because he loved us. Good. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews explains this to us. 12:2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Why was Jesus so consistent and faithful? Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. In other words, let Jesus be our model, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did he endure the cross? Why did he complete his assignment faithfully? Why? For the joy set before him, his eyes were on the prize. What was that joy set before Jesus? What was the joy set before Jesus? The joy set before Jesus was you and me. We were his joy. He said, I want those people to be in heaven one day. And for them to be in heaven one day with me and with my Father and with the Holy Ghost, I have got to die for them. I have got to go to the cross. For the joy set before him, for you and I set before him, he endured the cross. He was faithful and consistent. How do you pursue what God has for you this year? How do you pursue it? Maybe God has got better health for you. Maybe God has got more finances, a deeper walk with him. Is it peace on the inside? Maybe he's got a better job. Maybe it's a different educational path. Maybe God's will for you is sometime soon to leave this place, to have an apartment, to have a house, to have a better vehicle to drive. Maybe God one day wants you to write a book. Maybe he wants you to be a nurse one day. Maybe he wants you to own a business one day. Maybe God's will for you is to be in ministry one day. How many here tonight believe that God has got something special for them starting in 2008? And friends, you may have had a rough past. Maybe 2007 was difficult for you. But don't be imprisoned by the bars of the past. Leave the past where it belongs. Where does it belong? Where does the past belong? It belongs in the past. Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul wrote, I strain on towards the goal. You've got to forget your past. God has got a bright future in store for each and every single one of you here tonight. Amen? He loves you so very much. Don't let 2008 just slip you by without doing the assignment that God has for you. You know, in pursuing the goal, the assignment that God has for you, you will have some low times and you will have some high times. It really feels good when you're on the top of the mountain, right? When you're having those mountaintop experiences. You've climbed the mountain and it feels good, right? But it doesn't feel as good to persist in that assignment when you're going through some low times. You agree? So when you're going through the valley times, the low times, you must still be consistent and faithful to the assignment and not give up. Quitters focus, those who quit, focus on the problem. Winners focus on what? Winners focus on the prize. They focus on the prize at the end of the problem. Say that again. Quitters focus on the problem, but winners focus on the prize, on the goal, on the assignment. Think of it this way. Let's say you're working on a hot summer day in July. And this person hires you and says, I'll give you $150 to work 8 hours for me today. And it gets really hot that day. Right? It gets really hot after 2 or 3 hours. You're sweating. You're like, man, I don't know if I can do this for 8 hours straight. But you continue to do it anyway. Right? Why? You continue to work through the heat. Because there is a prize at the end of the day. Right? And what is that prize? It's your compensation. It's your $150. So in other words, to persevere this year, to persist, to steadily tick like that second hand on the clock, you have got to keep your eyes on what? On the prize, on the goal that God has for you. If you keep your eyes on the prize, and you're going through a low time, guess what? You will go through that low time and still accomplish the assignment that God has for you. But your eyes have got to be on the prize. Say it tonight with me. My eyes will be on the prize at the end. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give you some practical steps to end it tonight. 2008, friends, we're at the beginning of the year. We still have 11 months ahead of us. The first thing you need to do is this. You need to ask God in prayer, God, what is it that you would have me to do this year? God, what is it that you would have me to do this year? God, what goals do you want me to set in 2008? Get orders from headquarters. Because God knows far better than us. You may think of something that's good to do this year. It may be a good thing, but it may not necessarily be a God thing. How many here want to do the God thing for their lives this year? If so, raise your hand. Then you know what? You've got to seek the face of God in prayer and say, God, what are your goals for me in 2008? Right? After you find out what God wants you to do, what's the second step? You just gotta do it. I like it. Just do it. Just start. Take the first baby step. Don't let fear hold you back. You know, a little baby learning to walk, right? Babies learn to walk at different ages. Some at 8 months, some at 10 months, some at 12 months, some at 15 months. But what do they do in learning to walk? They're excited. They see all these adults walking around, right? So they want to walk just like those adults, correct? How many here have trained a baby to walk? All right, all of us have probably at one time or another. They see these adults walking and they want to walk. So what do? They're not afraid. They have no fear. They take a baby step, right? And maybe take another baby step and maybe they fall. But they're not afraid. They don't quit. They take another step and over time they take more and more steps to the point that they're walking. And then not walking, they're just running around the house as a two-year-old. And it's hard to control them at that point. They're just running and running. But they took that first baby step, and then over time, they began to run. We've got to be like that little baby, friends. We've got to take the first step. We just got to do it. Don't let fear hold you back. Once you take that first step, you take that second step, then a third step, your confidence increases, you begin to run with God, and then you begin to soar like an eagle. How many this year want to soar like an eagle with God? Well, then just do it. Take the first step. Just start. And then you've got to be steady, faithful, consistent, like Jesus, like God. Like the second hand on that clock. And how do you remain consistent and steady? Remember, we talked about it. By keeping our eyes, say it. Keeping our eyes on what? On the prize. So friends, I'm just here to tell you tonight, 2007 will be an awesome year for you. Say it with me tonight. I want a great this year. Friends, this year is the year for change in your life. The year for positive change in your life. But I can't stress it enough that in order for change to happen, you've got to be faithful. You've got to be consistent in the goal, in the assignment that God has for you. If you quit and you turn back, it's not going to happen. You will not accomplish God's assignment. Be faithful. Be consistent. And don't give up. Be a winner this year. Focus on the prize. I can't stress it enough. Be consistent. Be consistent. Say it with me tonight. I will be consistent in the year 2008. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, friends, to make that a New Year's resolution. It should be on the top of your list. God, number one, a deeper walk with God. Number two is to have this attitude, this quality of diligence and faithfulness, a constant, steadiness in what you start. Amen? All right, well.